When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to the middle of the week. Thanks so much for being here. What a day yesterday with Kurt Johnson at the end of the program as LSU gets ready to celebrate tonight. We'll have that later on, more about that. But we begin with very sad news that many in the world of sports are having to deal with. Ryan Mallett, who spent 1 year at Michigan before transferring to Arkansas, where he had a brilliant career. He also spent 7 years in the NFL, has died at a very young age. He was only 35 years old. He drowned at a Florida beach. He had been coaching high school ball in his native Arkansas, and many people are literally in shock today at this news. As we say hello to Wally Hall, who has been covering the University of Arkansas for the Arkansas Democrat for all of our lives and then some. Wally, thanks for the time. Always love to joke around with you and kid around and look forward to the season. But as we say hello to you today, tell us what your readers and listeners and friends all across Arkansas and everywhere, for that matter, are saying about this incredible tragedy. Good afternoon.
Well, as you can imagine, Paul, it's almost like a state of shock that somebody, you know, as big and strong and athletic and young as Ryan was would drown. And this is just months after Peyton Hillis, a former Razorback running back, almost drowned, saving his son and niece from drowning. So it's really kind of hitting them double hard and brings up the memory of Peyton, who is still suffering from taking in so much salt water. But Ryan was a guy that you would say he was bigger than life, but he never sought the limelight after his playing days.
Yeah, that's so interesting, Wally, because you know these people and then they go on and do whatever they do. In his case, his passion was coaching. Talk a little bit about that for a second, because he started as an assistant. He moved up, and it looked like that was something he was very serious about.
Well, he grew up in a coaching family. In fact, his parents met at a football game at Arkansas Tech, where his dad was working and his mom was teaching. And they met there, and they're educators and coaches in the background. His dad still coaches. He's got a sister who is an educator. So it ran in his family, and he had a quote in the Pine Bluff commercial when he took the job. He said, "I always knew I was going to be a head football coach." He said, "I always knew it." So, you know, that community had really embraced him, and he had embraced it, and they're just in shock. When somebody's 35, you just don't expect it. There's sometimes when somebody's older or ill, it feels right. This doesn't feel right.
Well, let's go back. I grew up in the state. He went to Michigan, and I really don't remember much about that. Obviously we all remember him coming back. What led him away initially?
I think the lure of the Big Ten, and there was also some debate going on in Arkansas about stadiums. And he was from Texarkana, Texas, not Texarkana, Arkansas. So he didn't quite have the same loyalty. Although once he decided to change, there was only one school on his map. And he was recruited by Houston Nutt, but just who resigned before he ever played. And so Mallett set out a year under Bobby Petrino. And I just got through looking this up because I was curious. And they're 2 years together. And, Paul, they were like a marriage. They would get crossed up, but they were always on the same page, and nobody else was allowed in the argument. They went 18-8, including a 10-3 season where they went to Arkansas's only bowl championship series game ever. 18-8, you have to go back to 1988-89 to have two consecutive seasons better than that. And that was when Ken Hatfield was coaching, and he went 10-2, two consecutive seasons, and resigned after the second one to take the job at Clemson.
That's amazing. And you think about that time, and I mean, you go back to 2010. At that moment in time, Arkansas was considered among the elite in the SEC. And yes, I don't want to shock anyone by saying this. Bobby Petrino was considered about the second best coach in the league, wasn't he, Wally?
I would say so, and I know we're talking about Ryan, but I will tell you this, Paul. If Jimbo Fisher lets those reins go, which everybody's kind of skeptical about, Bobby Petrino will make them 25% better immediately. He's an offensive genius. There's no rhyme or reason to the plays he's calling, except that they're successful.
Talking to Wally Hall about an incredible death, and Wally, there are never words. You've been encountering this as I have for so often. In terms of people remembering Mallett, what are they saying? And at 35, there's not that much to remember other than his playing career. His coaching career was just getting underway. But try to encapsulate for us what you've been hearing all day.
Mostly the number one thing is one play. Everybody remembers him for this. Time was running out in the second half against LSU, and who they don't beat very often. And with no time left, last play of the first half, he hits one of his high school teammates, Kobe Hamilton, for an 80-yard touchdown. And then to win the game, in the fourth quarter, he passed to Joe Adams, who was being covered by a guy named Honey Badger. And so that's the game that everybody remembers out of all the ones he played, 26 games for Arkansas. And, I mean, he's in two seasons. He's in most of the statistics for total yards. You know, he is the leader for one season for touchdowns and yards. But, I mean, for career, after just 2 years, he's in the top four or five in most categories.
Ryan Mallett. Wally, thanks. It was so good to see you when I was your way not that long ago, and we hope to see you very soon. I have a feeling we will, and at that moment.
You're going to be in Nashville, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll be up there. And then, you know, there's a lot I do want to talk to you about concerning the upcoming season, but I felt like today we really just wanted to concentrate on Ryan, and I deeply appreciate
and
you coming on.
Keep his family, Jim and Debbie, in your hearts. They're really hurting.
We will do so, Wally. Wally Hall, thank you so much. Wally Hall,
thank
who
you,
is an absolute legend in the state of Arkansas, has been the preeminent writer and broadcaster. And we will continue to remember the Mallett family throughout the program.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So we've got a lot to do today, and J.D. Piquel will join us in a couple of moments. And then a lot of NIL talk. Jim Caval, Nicole. Tim May has not been here in a while. He'll be with us later on as well. Headlines continue to rain down on the Georgia program. Georgia responding to an AJC report of sexual domestic violence within the football program. This is the second story in a matter of weeks dealing with Kirby Smart's program, and the University of Georgia has issued yet another statement on the situation. The University of Georgia and Athletic Association consider any allegation of sexual assault or domestic abuse to be a very serious matter, and we take swift and appropriate action in response to allegations when warranted by law enforcement or internal investigations. The policy is applied universally across our university community to students, student athletes, staff, and personnel. Student athletes are subject to the exact same disciplinary process as other students, and in addition, face further athletic program disciplinary measures, which can include suspensions and dismissal from the team. From the moment we are made aware of an allegation of sexual misconduct, we have always fully cooperated with law enforcement and the university's Equal Opportunity Office and Office of Student Conduct. Under no circumstance would we seek to influence the outcome of an investigation or the determination of charges, as these decisions are made at the sole discretion of law enforcement and campus disciplinary bodies. While each circumstance is unique, for any credible allegation of sexual violence or assault by a student athlete, we issue a preliminary suspension at minimum from competition as the matter is thoroughly and independently investigated. The University of Georgia has clear institutional policies prohibiting sexual misconduct, including established reporting protocols, and these policies are applied consistently to all students, including student athletes. So what's going on? The National Letter of Intent penalties to lighten for college athletics beginning in the 24-25 cycle. And when some NIL in the news, NCAA says the schools must comply with their rules superseding state laws. Yeah, don't count on that happening. Meanwhile, Alabama is 1,000,000% a statement team in 2023. J.D. Joins us now to talk about that. J.D. Piquel, thank you, J.D. Appreciate you joining us. That's a statement I didn't, that's a headline I didn't think I'd really be reading during the Nick Saban era. It sounds like somebody doubted that this was going to be all of that. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. Explain what it all means.
Yeah, Paul, well, first, pleasure to be on with you. I think when we talk about Alabama, we're talking about them in a light that we haven't really talked about them in some years. I mean, rewind back to last year, we were all not just penciling in, but sharpieing in. It would be Alabama, Ohio State in the title game in LA, and Alabama's not even making the playoff. And so a lot of people, and this is something we've seen a couple of times throughout the Nick Saban regime, is he'll have a down year, and then everyone says, you know what, the game's passed him by. Bama's no longer the Bama of old, and then right after that happens, he wins a national title. And so I think for Alabama, the statement they're trying to make is, hey, we're still here. We're still Bama. If you want to forget about us, you know, that's on you, but we're still Bama. We're still here to make a statement. And I think to count them out this coming season would be very, very unwise.
Well, JD, what do you like about them the most?
I think when you look at the way they've recruited, there is tons of talent on this roster still. I mean, they have nobody on campus that's been outside of a top two class since 2019, which is everybody that's on campus right now. And a lot of people are going to look to the quarterback position and what they don't know about that. I like the way that Bama's going to approach offensively this coming season. I think it's going to be bully ball. I think it's going to be back to the old Alabama we've seen previously, where they try and control the line of scrimmage, and they still have pieces to get that done. So will it look different than it has, you know, last year? Absolutely, with the new offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese. But I 1,000,000% believe Alabama is going to still be a force in college football, and people that want to overlook them are going to be sorry.
But I wonder, though, as we have this conversation, you know, they finished – last 3 years, 1, 2, and 5, but it's the direction that seems to be troubling people. No one's doubting Nick Saban. We all know what he's capable, but we also know what he had last year on his roster, and that gives people a little bit of pause. So try to square the two with us and answer the question: why he couldn't win with the best offensive and the best defensive player in the country. Why should he win now with an unknown at quarterback and all new coordinators?
Well, going back to last year to address that, just because they didn't get it done doesn't mean they weren't still capable. I mean, that team last year, and a lot of people are going to talk about it, they were 2 plays away from being 8-4. They were also 2 plays away from being 12-0 and locking up a spot in the college football playoff before even playing in the SEC title game. And so last year's team kind of wrote its own story. But when you look at just the roster itself, there's absolutely the firepower there to get it done. And so I think the motivated Alabama team is a little bit scary for people. And I just keep going back to the roster. A lot of it is unproven, for sure. A lot of unproven production. I think they're somewhere in the 120s in terms of, you know, returning production for this coming season. But at Alabama, the way they've recruited, new isn't necessarily bad for the Crimson Tide. At a lot of schools across the country, if it's unproven, you just assume, okay, well, that's going to be a getting up to speed process. I don't think that's going to be necessarily the case in Tuscaloosa.
So you're expecting a big statement from Alabama. Who else is high on your list?
I think Texas has to be a statement team this year. I mean, there's always been that, yeah, but built in with Steve Sarkisian, with Quinn Ewers, it's, yeah, the first year, it's not really his team. He's trying to get the culture right. And then Quinn Ewers were making the excuse, well, it's his first year being the starting quarterback. And so for Texas, going into year three, it's kind of like, all right, you've had the year three culture now. Now you've got a quarterback who knows what he's doing. You've kind of built to this. Year three is like, okay, make a statement. Show me that Texas is going to be a team that we have to deal with when we talk about the big boys in college football. Because, Paul, I think the reason why Texas gets so much heat is, you know, there's the brand and there's, you know, the attention that comes with being at Texas. But Texas invests so much into their football program that at this point in time, it's like, we got to see some ROI now. We've put all we've been told to put into it. We've put in the resources. We've got the facilities. We've got the recruiting. Now we want to get something out of it. And so for year three, I think it's very fair to expect Texas to be one of those teams that needs to make a statement. Also look at Tennessee. I think a lot of people from last season are expecting them to potentially take a step back because no more Hendon Hooker, no more Jalin Hyatt. I think Joe Milton's going to be a stud. I think Josh Heupel's offense is going to continue to roll. And I think a lot of people in Knoxville are expecting Tennessee to be a team that makes a statement like, yeah, last year was great, but this is now the new cruising altitude for us here at Tennessee. This is now who we are.
JD, one other question here. Every time I talk to an expert, and I say that with affection, they talk about Michigan and Ohio State. We had Phil Steele on yesterday. He's got both in his top 4 or 5. What about Penn State? When is James Franklin going to finally break that door down?
You know, I think they have a little bit more of a window than just this year. I think this is a great opportunity for them to make a statement this coming season. But all of your chips with Penn State being that team that beats an Ohio State or beats a Michigan, they're probably in the Drew Aller basket. And we haven't seen Drew Aller play meaningful minutes yet in a college football game. We've seen him in mop-up duty. We've seen him come in momentarily during, you know, an injury for Sean Clifford. But I think we still have to wait and see exactly what Drew Aller is going to be before we can speak definitively about Penn State. But, I mean, the talent they have on that roster with Nick Singleton and Ketron Allen, Abdul Carter, like you go down the list here, there's a lot of pieces there at Penn State that are young. So you'd like to see them be one of Michigan or Ohio State this coming season. But if they don't get it done, I think.
Finally, as we will undoubtedly, as media days start any day now, talk about not only who wins conference championships, but the CFP. Most people have Georgia automatic. Who else looks pretty solid in terms of this chess game? I wanted to hear that answer, by the way. I may never know. But we apparently lost our connection with JD, and we appreciate him being on, though. It was a fun interview. We've had quite a beginning here talking about the tragedy with Wally Hall. We'll talk more about Ryan and as we work our way throughout the afternoon. NIL conversation as we are on the doorstep of the two-year anniversary. We're almost to the end of June. A lot of expansion happening, new NIL procedures by the NCAA, all of that as we get ready for your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So we've got a lot to do today, and J.D. Pickell will join us in a couple of moments. And then a lot of NIL talk, Jim Caval, Nicole. Tim May has not been here in a while. He'll be with us later on as well. Headlines continue to rain down on the Georgia program. Georgia responding to an AJC report of sexual domestic violence within the football program. This is the second story in a matter of weeks dealing with Kirby Smart's program, and the University of Georgia has issued yet another statement on the situation. The University of Georgia and Athletic Association consider any allegation of sexual assault or domestic abuse to be a very serious matter, and we take swift and appropriate action in response to allegations when warranted by law enforcement or internal investigations. The policy is applied universally across our university community to students, student athletes, staff, and personnel. Student athletes are subject to the exact same disciplinary process as other students, and in addition, face further athletic program disciplinary measures, which can include suspensions and dismissal from the team. From the moment we are made aware of an allegation of sexual misconduct, we have always fully cooperated with law enforcement and the university's Equal Opportunity Office and Office of Student Conduct. Under no circumstance would we seek to influence the outcome of an investigation or the determination of charges, as these decisions are made at the sole discretion of law enforcement and campus disciplinary bodies. While each circumstance is unique, for any credible allegation of sexual violence or assault by a student athlete, we issue a preliminary suspension at minimum from competition as the matter is thoroughly and independently investigated. The University of Georgia has clear institutional policies prohibiting sexual misconduct, including established reporting protocols, and these policies are applied consistently to all students, including student athletes. More. So what's going on? The National Letter of Intent penalties to lighten for college athletics beginning in the 24-25 cycle. And when some NIL in the news, NCAA says the schools must comply with their rules, superseding state laws. Yeah, don't count on that happening. Meanwhile, Alabama is 1,000,000% a statement team in 2023. J.D. Joins us now to talk about that. J.D. Pickell, thank you, J.D. Appreciate you joining us. That's a statement I didn't, that's a headline I didn't think I'd really be reading during the Nick Saban era. It sounds like somebody doubted that this was going to be all of that. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. Explain what it all means.
Yeah, Paul, well, first, pleasure to be on with you. I think when we talk about Alabama, we're talking about them in a light that we haven't really talked about them in some years. I mean, rewind back to last year, we were all not just penciling in, but sharpieing in. It would be Alabama, Ohio State in the title game in L.A., then Alabama's not even making the playoff. And so a lot of people, and this is something we've seen a couple of times throughout the Nick Saban regime, is he'll have a down year that everyone says, you know what, the game's passed him by. Bama's no longer the Bama of old. And then right after that happens, he wins a national title. And so I think for Alabama, the statement they're trying to make is, hey, we're still here. We're still Bama. If you want to forget about us, you know, that's on you, but we're still Bama. We're still here to make a statement. And I think to count them out this coming season would be very, very unwise.
Well, JD, what do you like about them the most?
I think when you look at the way they've recruited, there is tons of talent on this roster still. I mean, they have nobody on campus that's been outside of a top two class since 2019, which is everybody that's on campus right now. And a lot of people are going to look to the quarterback position and what they don't know about that. I like the way that Bama is going to approach offensively this coming season. I think it's going to be bully ball. I think it's going to be back to the old Alabama we've seen previously, where they try and control the line of scrimmage, and they still have pieces to get that done. So will it look different than it has, you know, last year? Absolutely, with the new offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese. But I 1,000,000% believe Alabama is going to still be a force in college football, and people that want to overlook them are going to be sorry.
Yeah, but I wonder, though, as we have this conversation, you know, they finished last 3 years, 1, 2, and 5, but it's the direction that seems to be troubling people. No one's doubting Nick Saban. We all know what he's capable, but we also know what he had last year on his roster, and that gives people a little bit of pause. So try to square the two with us and answer the question: why he couldn't win with the best offensive and the best defensive player in the country. Why should he win now with an unknown at quarterback and all new coordinators?
Well, going back to last year to address that, just because they didn't get it done doesn't mean they weren't still capable. I mean, that team last year, and a lot of people are going to talk about it, they were 2 plays away from being 8-4. They were also 2 plays away from being 12-0 and locking up a spot in the college football playoff before even playing in the SEC title game. And so last year's team kind of wrote its own story. But when you look at just the roster itself, there's absolutely the firepower there to get it done. And so I think the motivated Alabama team is a little bit scary for people. And I just keep going back to the roster. A lot of it is unproven, for sure. A lot of unproven production. I think they're somewhere in the 120s in terms of, you know, returning production for this coming season. But at Alabama, the way they've recruited, new isn't necessarily bad for the Crimson Tide. At a lot of schools across the country, if it's unproven, you just assume, okay, well, that's going to be a getting up to speed process. I don't think that's going to be necessarily the case in Tuscaloosa.
So you're expecting a big statement from Alabama. Who else is high on your list?
I think Texas has to be a statement team this year. I mean, there's always been that, yeah, but built in with Steve Sarkisian, with Quinn Ewers, it's, yeah, the first year, it's not really his team. He's trying to get the culture right. And then Quinn Ewers were making the excuse, well, it's his first year being the starting quarterback. And so for Texas, going into year three, it's kind of like, all right, you've had the year three culture now. Now you've got a quarterback who knows what he's doing. You've kind of built to this. Year three is like, okay, make a statement. Show me that Texas is going to be a team that we have to deal with when we talk about the big boys in college football. Because, Paul, I think the reason why Texas gets so much heat is, you know, there's the brand and there's, you know, the attention that comes with being at Texas. But Texas invests so much into their football program that at this point in time, it's like, we got to see some ROI now. We've put all we've been told to put into it. We've put in the resources. We've got the facilities. We've got the recruiting. Now we want to get something out of it. And so for year three, I think it's very fair to expect Texas to be one of those teams that needs to make a statement. Also look at Tennessee. I think a lot of people from last season are expecting them to potentially take a step back because no more Hendon Hooker, no more Jalin Hyatt. I think Joe Milton's going to be a stud. I think Josh Heupel's offense is going to continue to roll. And I think a lot of people in Knoxville are expecting Tennessee to be a team that makes a statement like, yeah, last year was great, but this is now the new cruising altitude for us here at Tennessee. This is now who we are.
JD, one other question here. Every time I talk to an expert, and I say that with affection, they talk about Michigan and Ohio State. We had Phil Steele on yesterday. He's got both in his top 4 or 5. What about Penn State? When is James Franklin going to finally break that door down?
you know, I think they have a little bit more of a window than just this year. I think this is a great opportunity for them to make a statement this coming season. But all of your chips with Penn State being that team that beats an Ohio State or beats a Michigan, they're probably in the Drew Aller basket. And we haven't seen Drew Aller play meaningful minutes yet in a college football game. We've seen him in mop-up duty. We've seen him come in momentarily during, you know, an injury for Sean Clifford. But I think we still have to wait and see exactly what Drew Aller is going to be before we can speak definitively about Penn State. But, I mean, the talent they have on that roster with Nick Singleton and Ketron Allen, Abdul Carter, like you go down the list here, there's a lot of pieces there at Penn State that are young. So you'd like to see them be one of Michigan or Ohio State this coming season. But if they don't get it done, I think –
Finally, as we will undoubtedly as media days start any day now, talk about not only who wins conference championships, but the CFP. Most people have Georgia automatic. Who else looks pretty solid in terms of this chess game? I wanted to hear that answer, by the way. I may never know. But we apparently lost our connection with JD, and we appreciate him being on, though. It was a fun interview. We've had quite a beginning here talking about the tragedy with Wally Hall. We'll talk more about Ryan and as we work our way throughout the afternoon. NIL conversation as we are on the doorstep of the two-year anniversary. We're almost to the end of June. A lot of expansion happening, new NIL procedures by the NCAA, all of that as we get ready for your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back here. Second half hour begins of the first hour, and Dwayne begins our call-in segment from New Orleans.
What's going on, Paul? Bob, how you doing? You talking to an expert right now?
You calmed down from your ridiculous rant yesterday?
Yeah, I calmed down a little bit, buddy. Yeah, you talking to an expert right now. But, Paul, Bob, you know what I'm saying? What you call a donkey? What people call a donkey? Jack what? Jackass, huh?
Yeah, I've heard that.
But a dude, hey, you heard that before, that jackass? You got a jackass out of San Antonio named Matt. That dude from Love, Texas A&M, that jackass there. Hey, that dude talking about us so bad yesterday, talking about LSU, and he ramped on. You didn't know what he was talking about. He ramped on so much about Texas A&M. Hey, I'll pull him for Texas A&M to beat Alabama. No, oh, Alabama stomped them suckers. Oh, Alabama beat the crap out of them when they play. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that dude Matt from San Antonio. Like, you got him on the phone anyway, Paul?
Well, I just take the calls as they come in, Dwayne.
Yeah, what you think about that clown, huh? That clown there. They went 5-7 last year. You talking about they gonna rule the world.
Dwayne, those clowns out in College Station beat your teams, you know what?
Yeah, they ain't going to beat nothing no more. They ain't going to beat us this year.
They beat you guys like a yard dog.
We're going to put a butt whooping on them this year. We're going to put a butt whooping on them this year.
They made you look silly.
Jimbo Fisher. Hey. Jimbo Fisher going to get run out of Texas A&M.
No, he's not.
Out of College Station. Yeah. Huh?
Hey, you realize your AD wanted to hire Jimbo Fisher down in Baton Rouge.
No, but he did that. Yeah, but he ain't over there no more. He ain't over there.
He's over there
Baton Rouge right now.
He's the guy you currently have.
He's pulling the right plug. Yeah, that's why he left him. Hey, that's why he left. We know Jimbo Fisher. He went 5-7 last year. This year, if he go 5-7, they're going to run him out of there. This year, at the end of the year, we're going to make sure they run him out of here. He played up the last game of the season. We're going to make sure Texas A&M, Texas fan, run him out of there. You know what I'm saying? When he come to Baton Rouge, we're going to stomp him. We're going to stomp him. We're going to put up 40 points on him. We're going to beat him. We're going to beat the crap out of him. What?
Dwayne, do you like saying the same thing every day?
They ain't no same thing every day. I don't say the same thing every day. That donkey, that dude from San Antonio you got on your show, he be calling you pretty soon. That jackass. All right. Bye.
Rick is in Houston. Good afternoon.
Oh, tough to follow that. And I'm an LSU fan. But hey, Paul, definitely wanted to express my condolences to Ryan's family and friends. Ryan was an extraordinary talent. You know, a lot of times there might have not been another matchup during the day that I wanted to watch, and a lot of times you'd watch a game because of a player. And Ryan was one of those players that I would watch just because of how good he was. And I remember being very excited when he came to Houston to play for the Texans. And you know, the play that sticks in my mind was his first NFL touchdown pass, and you know who he threw that to, right?
JJ,
absolutely. You know, Paul, life is short at its very best, and we should all take the time to use this as a reminder to, you know, hug your spouse, hug your kids, let your friends know how you feel about them, because none of us knows what tomorrow holds.
Rick, well said. Thank you very, very much. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Yeah, hey, nice words by Rick. I agree. I was going to talk about Phil Steele and John U. Bacon interviews, but I've got to ask you first, what's up with Legend? He rained fire and brimstone yesterday at the first hour on Jim and LSU's biggest fair weather fan. If he's not on the fourth hour, I can't hang to the show till then. Can you move him back?
Yeah, I've never. I mean, this is the new Legend, the early afternoon Legend.
Well, I love the early evening sermon. So, and by the way, one of Baltimore's favorite sons, Al Kaline, did jump from high school to the majors.
Yeah, I think somebody told us that about 20 people have done that, but those 20 do not include the artist formerly known as Jim.
Yeah, aluminum bat salesman. Hey, Phil Steele, absolutely impressive interview, very concise, to the point. And what I found interesting, Paul, was his outliers who might, you know, get into the CFP. That being LSU, Clemson, then Texas, and USC. So the LSU-FSU game at the beginning of the season is huge because it tells us a lot about LSU and Clemson. And then Alabama playing Texas, I think that's in the second week, and then Clemson playing FSU, I believe, in week four. Those should tell us early on what's going on with those teams, don't you think?
Yeah, and I agree with him about Clemson. Even when Clemson seemed down and out, they were still pretty good. And what he said really sounded similar to a lot of things I've heard from the Clemson camp, about, especially about their defense. And it took a back seat, but it seems like it is now shored up.
Yeah, and on the John Bacon interview, I hope he gets you in the next movie, by the way. But great visit with him. Always interesting to hear about Harbaugh. I mean, he's hot right now, let's be honest. Two CFPs, second best coaching record after Kirby in Georgia. And I think he's been coach of the year once or twice. But him having the Georgia play, I find kind of humorous, because he used to have OSU in every week's practice. And Now he's got Ohio State in the rearview mirror, kind of what you did to Jim and Nick and Augie yesterday.
Well said. Thanks very much. Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Let's talk about the alleged easy Georgia football schedule, if we may. It's perceived to be easy because Georgia is better than everybody else, and they're a whole lot better than most. And as we know, the schedules are put together years in advance, and yes, we're not going to play Oklahoma. We're going to play Ball State, I think. But the SEC conference asked both teams to bow out this year. So that's not Georgia's fault. Georgia Tech is a Power 5 team, and years ago, before 1966, they were in the SEC instead of the ACC now. So Georgia is not playing an easy schedule. We're just that good, and I think that we're going to have a three-peat.
You know, Pat, somebody said it the other day that, and I mean, it sounds so obvious and a cliche, but the easiest part of Georgia's schedule is they don't have Georgia on it. And Georgia makes everybody else's schedule difficult. So when you don't have Georgia on your schedule and you don't have Alabama and you don't have LSU, you do not have the three best teams in the SEC. So, Auburn is down from where it has been. Georgia Tech is a joke. Florida is no longer really worth talking about until they straighten their program out. So there are a lot of things that Georgia has not in its control. The one thing that they do have in its control is the Oklahoma game, and that went out of their control. So you can't, other than this year, Georgia has played a top 10 team every single year at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely, and I suspect we're going to do it next year against Clemson.
Sure.
And, it's just the way it is. And if you look back, teams that are down right now, Florida, the years, Florida was a really, really good team.
Pat, that's always dependent on. I remember a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, Alabama lost a game, and a lot of people said they didn't belong in the playoff because they didn't have any good teams on the schedule. It just so happened that Alabama's first game of the year was against Florida State, which at the time was ranked number 3 in the country. But Florida State ended up with a losing record or a 500 record, and it disintegrated. So you can only play what you have in front of you. But I think it's a specious argument considering that Georgia, to win the national championship, still has to win the SEC. Doesn't have to win the SEC, but will likely play an SEC championship game. And then we'll have two games against two of the top four teams in the country. So it's just way overdone. And really, by the time we're knocking on July's door, it's a played out argument. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.